All our visitation groups will be meeting at 12:45. A number of us are going out. And fellowship hall, our visitation groups will meet at 12:45 in the, and that'll be our final group going out. So I'm ready and raring to go. Let's bow our heads, please. Lord, bless us as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Do you see it? Do you see the text? What does this text have to do with service? Go with me to Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. The book of Philippians, second chapter, some of us know it well, we could almost quote this, verses 5 through 8. You have it? Read that with me. Come on. Let this mind be in you. I need more people reading. Come on. Let this mind be in you, which was also where? In Christ Jesus. Who, continue, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, verse 7. And took upon him the form of a, the form of a, the form of a, who's it talking about? Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. Keep on reading. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion, you're still reading, as a man, he did what, church? And did what? How far did he go? Okay. What is the relationship between Genesis 1:1 and Philippians 2:5 through 8? They're both talking about the same person. Hello? Because John 1:1-3 makes it clear that all things were made by him. In the beginning was the Word was what? With God, and all things were made by him. Who's the him? So when the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. Who's it talking about? Don't be afraid. Who's it talking about? Jesus. Jesus. I want you to see something. I want you to see something. You see, we have this picture in our mind, Pastor Warfield, that the servant posture of Jesus began when he came to this earth. We have no trouble seeing the servant Jesus, born of Mary and Joseph, growing up in Bethlehem and then Nazareth, going about doing good. We're very comfortable seeing that picture of the servant Jesus, are we not? But this is Jesus in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. All things were made by him, so Jesus has got to be in that text. In the New Testament, the servanthood of Jesus is very, very clear. Go to Matthew. Go to Matthew. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Verses 25 through 28. Matthew, the 20th chapter, verses 25 through 28. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, stay with me now because I'm going to have you read, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Verse 26, we're all reading. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your... All right. In the New Testament, Jesus clearly clarifies the servant mode. Verse 28, everybody's reading. Come on. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Clear in the New Testament. Jesus was a servant. So if you read the Bible with a shallow mind, particularly in the Old Testament, you might get the idea that this servant posture of Jesus didn't start until he came to this earth. We tend to see the creation story, Pastor Taft, as an expression of God's power. And it is an amazing display of power. He speaks. Come on, y'all. How can you sit there so calm? He speaks. When's the last time you spoke and anything happened? Huh? Come on now. He speaks. Planets, suns, water, air. He speaks. So the creation story is clearly an expression of the power and majesty of God. God is the source of all existence, from the largest galaxy with billions of suns to the smallest one-celled creature with billions of atoms. It's amazing, the power of God. In fact, God is so powerful, his words are so powerful, he's got to be careful what he says. And so we read Genesis 1, and we're awed by the power of God. But something else profound, you're going back to Genesis 1, is happening in that first chapter that's right before our eyes, but we're so overwhelmed by what he does and how he speaks and things happen that we miss something much more personal. Genesis 1 and verse 29. Well, first of all, let's go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. Bara Bereshith Elohim. In the beginning, God created. Bara Bereshith Elohim. Created in the beginning, God. Bara Bereshith Elohim. In the beginning, God created. The word bara means to provide. In the beginning, God did what? Provided. Provided. Is anybody awake? Provided. What does a servant do? Come on, y'all. What does a servant do? He provides. The text is actually saying, I'm trying to stay calm. The text is actually saying, in the beginning, God served. I need some help up here because y'all just sound asleep. In the beginning, God did what? Served. See, this picture that Jesus suddenly became a servant when he came to the earth insults the Lord. He has always been a servant. He served them up light on the first day. Come on, y'all. He served them up air on the second day. He served them land and plants on the third day. He served them the sun, moon, and stars on the fourth day. He served them birds and fish on the fifth day. He served them animals and then he served them with life. He served them with life. I guess I have to enjoy my own sermon all by myself. God has always been a servant. Let's read more. Look at Genesis 1 and verse 29. I didn't read it. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree which is in the fruit is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, you shall be for me. He provided. He provided. And then verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. He's a good servant. It's nothing like good service. You ever been to a restaurant and got sloppy service? Nothing like good service. All his service was very, very good, the Bible declares. And then Genesis 2, 1 through 3, he served them with a Sabbath. Somebody say, thank God for the Sabbath. Woo! When Friday evening comes, that sun sets. Don't you get a feeling? I know I get a feeling. Now when the salesmen come, I can smile and say, not today. I don't even go to the mailbox to collect my bills, but somebody say amen. Because God has served me with rest. Gives me rest, Sister Doughty. he serves me. I want you to see God in Genesis as a servant. Notice, in fact, notice in Genesis 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth, breathed his nostrils the breath of life. Ellen White talks about how he stooped. He kissed Adam. See, servants stoop. They stoop to bless. Wow, Kadeem, isn't that something? So we have in creation God as a, I need help. We see in creation God as a servant. Servant. Professor Dukan, in the series of essays called Servants and Friends, page 37, writes, God precedes humans not for his own benefit, to serve himself first, as many corrupt leaders would have done, but on the contrary, for the definite purpose to serve mankind. Creation is thus not an act of dominance, but an act of service. So in creation, God is not showing off his power. He's showing off his humility. I got all power, but I'm going to give. See, folk, he didn't have to give us life. He didn't have to make this planet. And then when the planet messed up, he served us, his son. My. Now. After God served man, all these goodies, go back to Genesis 2. Genesis 2. Something interesting happens in Genesis 2:5. And every plant of the earth, the field, before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Then look at verse 23. Well, I'll just stay with that verse. Okay. He put Adam and Eve in the ground, on the earth, to till it. To do what? Till it. I love studying the original. The word till comes from the same Hebrew word for serve. Let me help you with it. Having served them, this planet, then he put us on the planet to serve the earth. Do you see it, my brother? He's awake. He's got it. He's smiling. He's got it. He who produces servants, who served, now produces a race that is to till, serve. Let me make it real clear to you, because I don't want you to miss it. Since we're made in the image of God, and God is a servant, deductive reasoning, therefore, to truly reflect the image of God, we must also be. Isn't this something? Yes. Ellen White writes further. She says, our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness, not only of man, but of all living creatures. Watch this now. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains, all speak to us that it is God who supplies the daily needs of his creatures. Now, these words of Ellen White speak to the service concept in all nature. Everything serves. If you study botany, biology, biochemistry, you know that even some bacteria do good. Even some virus do good. Everything serves. In fact, it has been noticed that the only thing on earth that resists serving is the people that God put in charge. See, these elemental laws, are in direct contrast to our society. We are very hierarchical. We're crippled by status and position. When you study the early Christian church, by the way, they had no titles. There was no elders, deacons, deaconess superintendents, chairpersons. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not against positions because they clarify. But let's be honest. Can I be honest? Positions and titles go to our head. Am I telling the truth? Did the pastor just make a true statement? I can remember pastoring a church. Thank God, the brother's now sleeping in Jesus. So if he's listening in, he can't listen in and hear what I'm saying and figure I'm talking about him. I remember pastoring a person who was an elder. And the little church had plenty of elders and only had two deacons. I asked him, would he serve as a deacon? He says, I'm an elder. I can't serve as a deacon. Now, folk, can I be frank? That's pitiful. He has let the title of elder do what? Get to his head, but more than that, destroy the service concept that a Christian ought to have. Now, the amens coming from you were kind of weak. I needed a stronger amen. See, if you've got the right service spirit, see, here's a piece of paper right here on the floor. Pastor's going to pick it up. I could say, let's get a deacon over here and pick up this piece of paper. Come on, y'all. That's the attitude some folk have. That's the deacon's job. No. This is God's house. There's a piece of paper on the floor. I don't care who I pick it up. Because I'm a servant. Can I get a witness in God's house? This is what titles have done. And this is why in the New Testament you read about functions like apostles and evangelists and teachers and prophets. It's not till you get to the pastoral epistles down toward the end of the New Testament you start hearing these titles. We get caught up. And let's be honest, our society does it to us. Come home. Guess what? I'm a manager now. And once we get that title, and I don't want to be rough on folk with PhDs, but you know, some folk, they got a PhD, you better call them doctor. Come on now. You know I'm telling the truth. I didn't say all. Let you know in a minute. It's Dr. Smith. Puts on his pants now, just like Plumber Smith. Are you listening to me? I'm saying that the society we live in eats like termites at that basic Christian concept of service. And so we remove ourselves, and the more things are heaped upon us, we remove ourselves. Well, we got to finish up because I got to go visit some folk. So here comes Jesus, running with harlots and publicans, touching lepers and individuals filled with disease. Here comes Jesus, shunning identity with the teachers of the law, scribes and priests. And it was frustrating to his family, to his disciples. They wanted him, Warfield, to hobnob with these great people. You know, we're very associative in our society. We want to move into a certain group of friends and so forth. Jesus would not do that because they were looking for a king. They were not looking for a servant. And so Jesus busted their bubble. He that is greatest among you, let him be your. He brought the little child. Here's the child. Children are not status conscious until we poison them with it. had no property. Folk, I'm going to tell you, if Jesus lived today, let's be honest, we'd call him a bum. We'd call him a bum. He had no job that we could identify. He had no property. He had no bank account. He had no car. He was walking. He didn't have a tricycle. His friends had no degrees. You know, we do all this pious talk. Folk, if Jesus lived today, most of us would reject him. He does not fit. We want the God who creates. We want the God who speaks. We want the God who thunders. We don't want the God who washes feet. But he serves. He serves us with forgiveness. He serves us with grace. Come on, somebody. He served you with air in your lungs this morning. He served you with a good night's rest. Somebody give God glory. He serves, always serving. Serves you with protection. Even when you're going to the wrong place, he serves you with a guardian angel. When there's no money in the bank, he pays bills. When the doctor says no way, he heals you. He spends his whole existence serving, serving, and he serves so deeply and so well that he will serve us through eternity by bearing the scars of our wickedness in his body for time immemorial. My subject is simply servant. I introduce you today to Jesus, Creator, Savior, God, servant. God bless you.
Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. We're going to do verse 1 and verse 3. Hymn number 573, I'll go where you want me to go. Verse 1 and verse 3.